Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies, this pimps too.
Tuning in to Stardom 100 Radio, and it is none other than your host, the lovely Tanisha Davis, and I have another amazing show for you today. I'm super excited that we will be talking to none other than our special guest, Carlton Wright, who is currently the chairman, CEO, and label manager for CW1 Entertainment, CW1's music group, and he's been in this industry for a long time, so I am so excited to have him on here. So if you're like an artist, you're trying to learn more about the music industry, this is going to be the show for you. So, Mr. Carlton, are you on the line?
I'm absolutely on the line. Thank you very much, Tanisha. Tanisha, how you doing? What's up? What's
I'm
going
doing
on?
Good. How are you doing today on this lovely Friday?
Where you at is lovely, but over here it's messy. You know, I'm in the city of New York right now. That's right. And right now we're in a studio, so I just moved myself out of the studio so we can have this beautiful interview here. And you know, I definitely want to give a shout out for anyone who's on here, if you don't mind. I'm sure Benny Negro is on there. And the official TNT, which is one of our groups that we have right now, rap groups out in Cali. Just want to give them a shout out, you know. Tazar, Anonymous, and my man TC100. You know, I know they on the air probably listening in. Also want to give my shout out to Larry Campbell, since we in here right now in the studio. Larry Rock Campbell, my right hand, and our engineer, Saga, you know. So, you know, everybody's in here supporting what we do. Again,
well,
I'm glad for you to have me on your show. Glad for you to have me on your show. Thank
you. It's a pleasure to have you on. And it's always good to have a team of great people that support what you do, that rock with you. You know, so that's dope. That's really dope.
Yep.
So, for those who are listening in, can you just give us a brief background or like what you do and some of the artists that you've worked with?
Wow. Okay. So I'm going to try to make it as brief as possible. I've been in this business since the 90s, I guess you could say, when I started my first company, Premier Entertainment, back in 93. I primarily was doing a lot of management. Prior to the management aspect of it, we were doing security. I had a security company called Onyx Security where we did security for a lot of music artists, Brownstone, Mary J. We did, for those who know about Keep Sweat and all of the other artists, those are the artists that we actually worked with in terms of doing security. And then it evolved into management, and I started working my trade and managing up-and-coming artists and developing them and then presenting them to different labels. And it was very successful, you know, up into towards the end of the 90s, going into 2000, when the labels kind of went through a mega transition. You know, some labels that have folded, like MCA Records, Uptown Records, Kadar kind of took a slow spin. Universal Music Group as well, they was up and down on the dive because of the transition of the technology of the business as well. So, for the most part, I came back into the business back in 2010, Actually, I was sitting at the desk at Larry Campbell's desk, who at that time he was the director of A&R. He's one of the big wigs over there at Sony Job and RCA Records, you know. And his job was basically, you know, looking for artists and signing them. We ran into each other through an opportunity, and one thing led to another. You know, that'll be another story, but the long and short of it is we're working together now under the CW1 Music Group umbrella and the Larry Campbell Music Group Corp. So we you know, we're doing fantastic work right now, you know, looking for artists. We primarily are doing a lot of development. And now we on the verge of just for those artists that we develop, we putting them out, and then we decided at this point to look for new artists as well and get the ball rolling. So I'm definitely looking to make some noise this year. Actually in a few months.
Okay. You know. All right. So you mentioned about looking for artists. What types of artists are you looking for? Like, what are you interested in when you're looking at an artist?
You know, I don't like to, you know, to use this cliche, you know, good music. I want great music. I mean, we right now being independent, you know, everyone has good and great music, but I want to be able to be the one that stands out on the core of just looking for something that I believe that fits towards the interest of people who love music. So I don't have any particular dynamic on what music, you know, like when you have a lot of new independent labels and labels in the past,
right?
They specified hip-hop, R&B, hip-hop, R&B. Nobody touch rock. Nobody touch pop, mainly because they probably didn't know how to push it at that time, and I get it. But because of my season and being in this industry for a long time and meeting people in the industry, knowing people that I know now, I'm just open for any music that's going to be very much more tantalizing to the ear, where we can actually market and promote it and execute it properly. So I'm looking for just, whether it be gospel, hip-hop, R&B, pop, EDM, I mean, that's what we're looking at right now. And that's where we're at across the board.
Okay. Now, I have to ask, because you know, owning a record label, how in today's society, everything's like all digital, everybody's, you know, uploading their music and so forth. How relevant and necessary are record labels during the digital age to you?
That is a very, very good question. I mean, basically, they took a long time catching up because as technology has changed, you know, being the fact that they were selling vinyl and selling CDs, and once we had the streaming and the downloading, it was, you know, a lot of pirating was taking place. So as far as them catching up to that, now in the 21st century, I guess you could say, they've pretty much made a dynamic which where if they put money up for an artist to support that artist like they used to do back in the days, that artist today, because of the technology, because of the internet, because of Spotify, SoundCloud, they know that there's a challenge against the, you know, music industry in particular. I mean, talking about the record labels.
Yeah.
So what they look for now, is which we're starting to look for, is artists that are pretty much seasoned, who's been out there grinding, putting their own work out there because of the technology, they're able to get more exposure to the masses. And in that, in turn, this is where the labels start looking at the numbers. So let's say we have an artist that he's, you know, is being followed by 500,000 you know, followers, and he's getting like 3,000 to 5,000 likes or whatever. That's what the record labels look for in general, before they even want to sit and talk to you. And they got to show a history of progress that says, hey, I did this show here, I did this show, I got 5 more shows lined up, and that you've covered your ground. Spotify alone won't do it. SoundCloud alone won't do it. If your music is hot, how hot is it if, you know, you ain't working that song? You understand what I'm saying? And again, there are record pools that a lot of people are not aware of, in which way you can get your music out. Also, people are not setting up the scope of how to release their music. For instance, they just put a nice picture, artwork, put this. They don't have an IRSC code, which is an international recording code, right? That you need to have that because then you have to register the song to BDS, Media Base, and Sound Exchange. Why? Because that's the fingerprint when you set up the song and you encode it, you register it with those companies. Those companies are the ones that keep track of your sales of your songs, as well as if someone is spinning your music on the radio. And a lot of these guys don't know how to do, you know, they don't understand that. So basically, you don't know if somebody in China is playing your music, in Japan, anywhere overseas. So even though you put it out there on SoundCloud, you might be getting an opportunity where your music is being heard, but yet you don't really know that because you don't know how to, you know, monitor your resources, you know, your commodity, which is your music. So what makes us different from the major labels is that we do take time out to look for those who, I don't want to use the word diamond in the rough because that's just kind of like coal. That's not, it's not a diamond, it's not a rough, it's just, it's coal. We look for seasoned artists that are really, you know, taking their time to nurture their business, to nurture their music and their craft, and just need that extra push, you know, to get that exposure for me, you know, for the magazines and the radios and, you know, radio. We do radio ad campaigns. We also have relationships with XXL Magazine, Hip Hop Weekly, Complex. You name all the different magazines, but everything is very much well constructed in the way where how we introduce the artists to the masses. You know, and if there's cooperation, there are results. You understand? Because this is a group effort. This ain't just the label is doing it or whatever the case may be. But we do look for artists that do need that push. We're not necessarily looking for artists that has 500,000 followers, but we are looking for somebody who's working consistently, to show their worth in terms of their music, their brand, and their will and their drive to succeed. And then we with that.
I like that you brought out just information about, like, things they need to do with their music. Like, because you have some artists, they just throw their music up on SoundCloud, and that's it, and they start putting it out there, but they haven't taken those steps to do all of those other things that you just stated, you know, so that's very important. So it's good to be, you know, to be connected to the right people. It's a good record label company, or to have good management, so you know what you need to do before you just throw a song out there without even having it properly set up so that you can benefit and earn from it. And like you said, somebody could be playing your song over in China somewhere and it's doing good, but you don't know it.
You don't know it at all. And that's real sad for a lot of artists out here today because, again, when you just mentioned about management is a very important key factor for me when I'm working with artists. I want I would like to consider artists or all the artists that we work with to have some type of management. But not management like your boy from the block, somebody who we can actually talk to and say, hey, we can help you guide your artists to the next level. We need you to do this. We need you to do that. Because there are a lot of managers out here who really don't know the game. They just call themselves managers, but they don't really understand the dynamics or any approach of what makes them managers, you know. Also, managers have to be well-connected. If a manager is not well connected and they don't have any resources, then I wouldn't recommend you work with them in any capacity.
Right.
I'm just being real. I mean, you know, because again, and another thing, just for the sake of management, because I used to manage, you know, there's a belief that they believe that managers also supposed to pay for everything. Managers do not do that. Their job is to consult, guide, and direct the artist's career to, you know, that next level. But they will use their resources to help them get to that next level. It is definitely up to the artist. The artist is the employer. You know what I'm saying? They're their own embodiment of work. So their job, his, her job, or their job is to work that music alongside of the label, alongside of their management, and as well to, you know, look for these shows and put all these things. But we do it all in a collective effort, you know. For those who don't have those resources, that's what makes us different. The major labels, they don't do that. Major labels do not do that. They'll put you out there, give you some money, take your music, put it out there, and then you like, okay, my song just went gold, but you ain't do a show. And then you expecting the label to set up these shows for you. They don't. That's not their job. And the reason why that's the case today, again, is because you have a lot of artists that has this belief, oh, I want to be independent. I want to be, you know, I just want to do it myself. But they fail to realize all this stuff costs money. Yeah, but it costs money. You ain't doing nothing for free. If you want to get on a show, I mean, let's say I line up a bunch of shows for an artist, and the artist is a real good artist. I mean, they're like, I don't know how I'm going to get there. I don't have the money to get there. See, this is my point. The labels don't do that for you. You have to hustle, bustle, and grind. You know, you look at the old shows when you talk about the, you know, the old artists that when they were promoting their music, they get in their car, they drive to every radio station, and they grind. They put their money together. They make it happen. But a lot of artists today, they want it handed to them, and it ain't going to work like that.
Exactly. They don't want to put in no work. They just want you to give me everything. They don't know nothing about the grind.
Right, absolutely. So, you're absolutely right.
Man. I like, now, when you were talking about management and independent artists, I've heard so many artists that feel like, I don't need management. I can do this myself. I don't need, you know, I'm just going to be independent.
Right.
But they don't know all the work that goes in with it. And I heard a guy say once that, you know, if you're an artist, an independent artist, or that's looking for management, you know, if you don't have anything to manage, you don't need a manager. Like, what are they managing? You got to already have some kind of money coming in. You got to have something for them to manage. You know?
Right. So now, I'm going to say this, though. You have artists that even are able to hustle and get shows and do a lot of shows, but they don't know how to capitalize off of that. So this is why I always recommend, hey, how you need management, because I know of an artist right now who was we were looking to sign for the last like 2 years, and I really, you know, at the time there's a promoter that we work with, and she was representing that that particular female R&B artist, and the artist is hot, and she tours every year, and my position was, okay, she's touring, she's enjoying life, but who the hell is she? Like, if I mention her name, you don't know who she is. If somebody mentions her name, you're like, okay, you got to look her up. And guess what? When you hit Google, you hit Bing, you hit this, she will not pop up. You see what I'm saying?
Wow.
So these are the missing pieces to the puzzles of all artists that are looking to be signed. This is where we fill the gaps in. You know, any artist that we want to work with or we look to work with, like right now, you could type CW1 Music Group up, we pop up everywhere. You type Lexis, LXXS, she pops up everywhere. And by the way, I want to talk to you about her, if you don't mind.
Yes, I definitely
want
to ask
you
about Lexis.
Yeah, I noticed that you were playing in the beginning of the show, which I was really am really glad for that. I'm really happy. We got a lot of things going on in this second quarter. Number one, in New York, beginning April 18th, we have a second quarter push party, which is like a second quarter launch party. The launch party is basically introducing the new artists that signed to our roster, and introducing them in the second quarter. We will be highlighting some of their music at our party, and some of the artists will be there as well. So this is definitely a who's who event. I definitely would love for you to come. So, you know,
I definitely want to be there.
I
definitely
you know.
Want to be there. We have to be in the building for this event. And Lexis, I love her song, Superwoman. That was the song that for those who were listening in, Superwoman was playing at the beginning. I really love how, you know, she's really just being that voice out there for women with her music. So, you know, dealing with relationship issues, whatever you're dealing with, she kind of putting it out there in that song. So I think it's really dope. So if you don't mind me asking, what new projects do you have lined up with Lexis at the moment?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, going back to what I was saying earlier, and the fact that Superwoman was initially the first song of release last year. It did not, we didn't really release it. We kind of like pre-released it.
Wow.
And, well, yeah, so what we did was we, song officially, of course, on all, you know, streaming markets and all that other nonsense. But for the most part, what we wanted to do was bring more visibility to the artist, you know, as her as an artist. So we pushed the song overseas. And when we pushed the song overseas, it started gaining a lot of ground. She was playing everywhere in France. She was playing in Belgium. She was playing in the UK. Yeah. And we have all the data for it.
Girl.
And then it bounced and trickled down over here into the States. We did not do that. It did it on its own. So then we was like, okay, yo, you know what? We're going to push this song officially. So we had an official date. We had it all set up. We went into some, we had a meeting at Sony. We had all the stuff put together. And then someone walked in, and I ain't going to name no names. She's a VP over there, RCA. And she said, hey, you know what? This is what we need to do. We need to drop this song. Because we was also introducing other songs at the time to the whole team to kind of follow up with which the next song we're going to push after Superwoman. They ended up pulling Superwoman down, and they said, push Girls' Night. So Girls' Night ended up being the song that we ended up pushing first, which gained a lot of traction. She hit a lot of charts, a lot of music charts, a lot of record label charts, and she was on BDS radio. She was Billboard monitored. The song gained a lot of notoriety, but we concentrated mainly in the West because there's different markets. A lot of people think when you put a song out, everybody's going to hear it. You know, it don't work like that. You know, because again, everything is with a budget. So we focused on the West Coast, the Midwest, and the South, and the Southeast markets. So it never made it to North. I mean, well, I'm not gonna say that. I'm sorry. It actually did go all the way up to Albany. It started hitting the Northeast markets, Schenectady, and you know all of these other places. But when you usually start pushing a song, and you start hitting in certain areas, it usually works organically on its own, especially if it's a popular song. And her song gained a lot of popularity in terms of Girls' Night. We, you know, so as that winded down, the only reason why we didn't push any forward because we were a little delayed on the visual, because we wanted to do a whole core of promotion and marketing for the video as well, get it on BET, you know, VH1, MTV2, but because of the timing and everything, it just kind of fell back. So the song kind of died out. It's still playing in certain markets, but it's kind of like fizzled out. So we know that Superwoman, the song that you played, we're going to have that officially released on radio April 10th, which is, I believe, is a Wednesday.
Okay.
So April 10th, yeah, so it's going to be out. We're going hard body with this. So basically, we're trying to hit all the radio markets, Radio 1, Intercom, you know, iHeartMedia. It's going to be on all the platforms that we need to bring exposure to this. But we do have one little extra little niche, which is why I'm in the studio now. We're still working on a remix, an EDM version, dance version of that song so that we can hit all the other platforms, the other formats. So basically we have the song playing on the mainstream, the hip-hop, the urban markets, and then we have it on the pop markets and then the top 40. So we could cover all ground of radio. So it's not just, you know, the urban music radio stations. It'll be on all different platforms. So that's the goal. So we're going to push this song April 8th. In about a month after that, we're going to push the remix. And then within that time frame thereafter, we should have a visual. So it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that's what's up. Y'all are like busy, busy.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's nice.
Yes. Yes.
That's
and
what
one of the things.
Busy though.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're not with, you know, the funny thing is that I'm not with Sony anymore, but the deal is that when we left Sony officially in September of last year and our contract dissolved, we didn't have another home, but I was hustling and bustling on doing a lot of different meetings, having a lot of different meetings with different labels, Atlantic Records, you know, just trying to find a new home and figure it out. What we were doing, of course, we was going to continue to do everything independently, but then we got a deal December 12th or December 9th with AWOL, which is a record label out of the UK who made its home here in the States, and they acquired $150 million. That is public, by the way, so it's not like I'm say anything that's confidential. Mm-hmm. These guys are very well. Yeah. And you know, we acquired a piece of that, and we became we got a deal with them for distribution. So we happy, you know. So now we're just looking to put new artists out and make some new noise. I mean, starting with Lexus, and then we got another group called the Official TNT, which is three gentlemen, like I said, out of Cali. And again, that's my man Tizar, Tizar the Tyrant. And then you have TC100, and then you have Anonymous. These guys are good, by the way. These are some rappers that are pretty much homegrown. You wouldn't be able to probably more or less tell that they rappers, but they hot. I love them. These guys are hot.
Okay.
And then you have Splash Life Entertainment, which is a new company that we partnership with now. They have a whole new roster with them. I want to give a shout out to Cash Life. Let him know, you know, that we're thinking about you. We're working. We're going to be having a single that's going to be releasing, an R&B single that's going to be releasing. It's more like on an urban level market, but we're going to push it hard. The artist's name is Ryan Dudley. Ryan Dudley has done work before where he was featured with Cardi B on a song.
Wow.
I can't remember the name of the song, but you can look it up. Yeah, he was featured with Cardi B. The main artist, his name is Harlem Cashflow, which is from New York, from Harlem, New York. And he put out a song, and Cardi B was the feature on that song, and Ryan Dudley was also the second feature. And the song actually made some numbers and did very well.
Wow.
So we picked up Ryan Dudley through Cash Life Entertainment, Splash Life Entertainment, pardon me, Cash, Splash Life Entertainment. So, you know, again, at everything, all of these new artists are going to be presented April 18th at our launch party here in New York City.
Oh.
You know, so.
I'm definitely looking forward to coming up there. I got to come check this out.
We'd love for you to be here. Yeah, we'd love for you to be here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you, just listening from just the start of the show, like you discussed so much that you have done and accomplished. What does it take to really be successful in this music industry? Because some people, they can jump in and they do not survive. They become almost like a one-hit wonder. And it's like, what happened to them? So, like, in your own experience, what do you think it takes to be successful in this industry?
You got to want it. That's number one. You have to really want this. I'm talking about eat, sleep, drink, music. You can't have or make any excuses ignorant to how you go about doing this. So my first recommendation for any person who has love for music and who wants to make this a career, I'm going to say this.
Mm-hmm.
Read some books about how to be down in the music industry. Read some books. Mm-hmm. Let's start with the simplistic notion of learning. You know what I'm saying? Not just doing what everyone else is doing, because if that was the answer, everybody would be rich, and everybody's not rich.
Right.
Because it's something that everyone is doing wrong, and they don't even realize they're doing it wrong. They think they're doing everything right. So I always recommend that you do your research, start learning what it takes to be an artist from the ground level, as you know, beginning with reading books that associates with the business mindset of the music industry, you know, how to be down in the music industry. My other thing is this, and I don't want to use the word grind as a general formality. What I want to say specifically is start going to different shows, start networking. So, like, let's say they have music seminars. I know they cost like $600, $1,000. They cost an arm and a leg. But if you believe in you and you trust you, this is where you got to put your money where your mouth is at. You know, you have to go. I mean, you know, I don't agree with doing a whole bunch of showcases more than I think you should just kind of work on mastering the craft of your music. In other words, don't just go into the studio and lace anything putting your lyrics on some tracks that doesn't belong to you, and 50 other million people got it. and then you want to say, this is my song. It's not your song. The track doesn't belong to you. So the other thing I'm going to say is that if you really want to be a standardized person in this industry, make sure that everything you do, you own it. If it's the production, you own it. If you're doing split sheets with other producers, let's say you got a producer that, hey, you know, he needs somebody on his music so that he can present his sound, you know, in the effect of being able to sell his production. And he's going to use you and you're going to use him or her or whoever it is. So then you do a split sheet where it says, if I make it big, I'll pay you for the production off of what I make. So that allows you the freedom to be able to, you know, go out and actually push out a song and say, this is yours, you know. But I definitely say read up on the music business. Go to these seminars and go to these networking functions. Even go to the showcases as well. You don't have to be in every showcase or perform in every showcase. You need to observe and just learn. Once your music is ready, and let's say you got about 4, 5, 6 songs that's ready and you know they're ready, then you put them to the side and make some more music. Because no music is old. Mm-hmm. It's not really old. You know, and if you feel as though that you got to go in the studio and come out and push that song tomorrow, then you ain't ready. You ain't ready. There's a lot of artists out here, very well-seasoned artists, and they'll put a song out and you think it's new and it's like 10 years old, 5 years old. They just tweaked it. Yeah, you know, remember when God Bless His Soul, when passed away, they had a slew of other music that they ended up using his book. Right, he was always recording. So was Tupac, you know. So your music never dies. You know, your music never dies. And basically, don't be afraid to travel. Don't be afraid to go to California where there's a music function at. Don't be afraid to travel around. This is how you become known. This is how you become well adapted with learning about venues and learning about places, so when it's your time to go out there and perform, you done already made a couple of friends out there who can help you, you know, put an event together and you create your own tour, you know, your own show tour. So that's how I look at it right now from the basic fundamentals of it.
So for artists out there, they need to know this information. It is so important to get out there and network and not just, like, you throw your music up and then just sit back. It's about getting out there, educating yourself, networking. Now, for an artist that's new to this, would you recommend them to copyright their music before they start putting it up on SoundCloud or anything like that? What steps do they need to take first?
You know, that's a good question. I can't remember. I guess you could say 5 or 6 years ago, there was a new law that basically allowed music to be considered copywritten if it comes from the original source, and they have a way to be able to tell. So let's say, you know, we're in a studio, like I'm in the studio right now, we making some music. We have stem files, we have stuff on the program, stuff in the computers that's embedded. It has its own stamp, day stamp time, and it has these other little numbers that associates with the ISP to let everybody know, basically, at this computer, at this time, this is where the work was done at. That's considered copyright as well. So, you know, for a lot of people who can't afford to actually send it out right now, it's okay. Once you make your music as a final product, it's yours. It's actually copywritten on the technical aspect because wherever it was created and from wherever it was created, it already copyrighted itself because of the digital age and the way things are. You know, for those who know about music, people who knows about all of these software for production, Pro Tools we just got all of these different programs now that locks in all of your music and keeps it. I mean, still, I would not say don't save it on a hard drive and at a later date do not register the song. You understand? I'm not going to say don't do that. I'm saying that it's more safe now because of the way technology is, that when you create something, you know, it's pretty much already stamped in the system. So unless somebody steals your whole system. you know, then that's a whole other book.
Yeah.
You know, I always recommend all the artists for any sessions that they do. When they finish that session, just upload it to their hard drive. That's all, it's uploaded to their hard drive. It's theirs. If you hear your music later on being pushed around somewhere for whatever reason, so have you, it's called intellectual property. You still have a right. So whether you register it or not, through copyright, through the, you know, through legal parameters, you still have a legal ground because you can show the authenticity of your original music and the content of where it's stored at, which is your hard drive. So, yeah, you still get to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You just dropped some jewels out there for those who are just trying to figure this thing out. So, like, I hope you all have been taking notes because you've been putting out a lot of great information. Being in the business as long as you have, what would you say have been some of your greatest success stories working with artists?
Wow. Okay. One of the greatest success stories is being able to, like when you're working with these artists from the ground up and you're watching them grow and then you're watching them succeed. I had an artist that we was working with independently, which was one of the main reasons why it became like a show and prove thing, because my goal was at the time, I had an opportunity to get an imprint with, it was RCA Jive, Jive RCA at the time, but I didn't have enough artists. But then they became a thing where, well, the artists that I did have, these were good enough. Like, if we do this and we push this, then this is work. Well, I kind of got pushed to the side a little bit, like, I don't think so. This will work. I don't think that'll work. And, you know, it got to a point where I'm like, listen, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So one of the things that I loved in doing for myself along with the artists is putting the whole package together and what you believe in, and watching it nurture and watching it grow from infancy to the success of how the song, you know, has resonated and taken charge. And, you know, you're seeing your song on Billboard, you're hearing your music actually being played on the radio. You're in the magazines. Like my artist, he was in Double XL magazine. He was at Hip Hop Weekly.
Wow.
You know, he started getting a lot of notoriety in the early phases of the success of what we were doing. But it took work. It took work. So that was one of my accomplishments. That was one of the things I love to see, working with an artist from the ground up and watching the transition of greatness manifest itself from the hard work that they put in and as well as what we put in, you know, collectively.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what I love to see. I also love to see that what I'm usually good at, I have a gift of discernment to know, you know, who can do what well at and what they do. Like, in other words, let's say you're a singer and this is the way you sing, and I say, hey, listen, I think you should do it this way or you should do it that way. You might not see what I see, but if you cooperate, you do what I say, you know, of how I instruct you, you'll be able to see the outcome of the product, man, you know, be what it's supposed to be. So I like to do that as well. I like to work with artists that are open-minded and looking to, adapt to change, you know, because some things, you know, you have to adjust with in this music industry as well. When, if you want to be successful, you have a lot of artists that are talented, but they don't have the energy. And then I'm like, yo, come on, like scream. Like with Lexus, like that song, if you heard the original song Superwoman, no, I'm serious. If you play that song again, you hear all the energy in there. I'm not saying she didn't have energy. She didn't have no energy. There was areas where in the pockets of those songs, I had to fly down to Cincinnati. I had to go into the studio, and I had to work with her and her manager and say, yo, I want you to bring it up here. I want you to bring it up there. No, you got to sing. And this is the outcome of that song. So I love to do that. That's just one of my gifts. Yeah.
Wow. Man. So you, like I said, you've dropped so much information out here. for those who are trying to get in the music industry and even those who are in it and just, you know, need to know some things that they don't already, you know, that they think they know but they don't really know. So
right.
You've been putting out a lot of information, and I'm looking forward to this launch party you have in New York coming up on April 18th. And now for those artists who are looking to get with CW1 Music Group, how can they go about submitting their music to you and connecting with you all?
Well, the first thing they can do is follow me. We're everywhere. Facebook is CW1.co. It's CW1 Music Group.co. You can follow us on Friends Who Love CW1 Music Group, also on Facebook. Also, you can follow us on IG, CW1 Music Group. You can follow us on Twitter, CW1 Music Group. We are CW1 Music Group. So now, if you want to send us music, which we'd be more than happy to receive, there is a team of people who do review the music. I don't always get to review the music, just things are happening right now. But if you want to send music, you can send it to at cw1musicgroup.com, and that's all spelled out in letters. So that's contact at cwonemusicgroup.com.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, again, it has been a pleasure talking to you, having you on my show just to discuss all of the knowledge. You know, I've been just picking your brain today to get all the information out for artists just to learn more. Like, you know, that's how we learn. That's how we grow, by listening to, like, those who are seasoned in this industry. You know, they know what to do. They know what it takes to be successful. So I'm truly honored to have had you on here to bring this knowledge to my platform. You know, this is exciting. So, again, it's been a pleasure speaking to you, and looking forward to hearing more from you and further music that you have in the works with new artists. Looking forward to all of that.
Okay, thank you.
So,
thanks for having me once again.
Thank you, and you have an awesome day. And for those who are tuned in, be sure to go and follow Stardom 100 Radio, STARRDOM 100 Radio on Instagram. Follow us on iHeartRadio and subscribe to us on iTunes so that if you didn't get to hear the full conversation, you can go back and listen to the entire conversation and take some notes for yourself. Thank you again, Mr. Carlton, and you have an awesome day. And thanks to the listeners for tuning in.
Yes, thank you, listeners, and you have a pleasure. You have a pleasant day as well. All right?
Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Davis.
I just like the sound of it.